रेंडिशन फॉर पाप मोचनी एकादशी. श्री युधिष्ठिर महाराज सेड, ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, आई हैव हर्ड फ्रॉम यू द एक्सप्लेनेशन ऑफ अमलकी एकादशी विच अकर्स ड्यूरिंग द लाइट फोर्थ नाइट ऑफ द मंथ ऑफ फाल्गुन. एंड नाउ आई विश टू हियर अबाउट द एकादशी that occurs during the dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra, March and April. What is its name, O Lord, and what results can one attain by observing it? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna replied, O best of kings, for the benefit of everyone, I shall gladly describe to you the glories of this Ekadashi, which is known as Pap Mochini. The history of this Ekadashi was once narrated to Emperor Mandhata by Lomas Rishi. King Mandhata addressed the Rishi, O great sage, for the benefit of all people, please tell me the name of the Ekadashi that occurs during the dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra, and please explain the process for observing it. Also, please describe the benefits one gains by observing this Ekadashi. Lomas Rishi thus replied, The Ekadashi that occurs during the dark part of the month of Chaitra is named Pap Mochini Ekadashi. For the faithful devotee, it removes the influences of ghosts and demons. O lion among men, this Ekadashi also awards the eight perfections of life, fulfills all kind of desires, purifies one's life of all sinful reactions, and makes a person perfectly virtuous. Now please listen to a historical account concerning this Ekadashi and Chitrarath, the chief of Gandharvas, that is, heavenly musicians. During the spring season, in the company of heavenly dancing girls, Chitrarath once came upon a beautiful forest bursting forth with great variety of flowers. There, he and the girls joined the Gandharvas and many Kinraras along with Lord Indra himself, the king of heaven, who was enjoying a visit there. Everyone felt that there was no better garden than this forest. Many sages were also present, performing their austerity and penances. The demigods particularly enjoyed visiting this celestial garden during the month of Chaitra and Vaishak, that is, April and May. A great sage named Medhavi resided in that forest, and the very attractive dancing girls would always attempt to seduce him. One famous girl in particular, Manju Ghosh, contrived many ways to allure the exalted Muni. But out of great respect for the sage and feat of his power, which he had attained after years and years of ascetics, she would not come very close to him. At a spot 2 miles from the sage, she pitched a tent and began singing very sweetly as she played a tambura. Cupid himself became excited when he saw and heard her perform so nicely and smelled the fragrance of her sandal-paste unguent. He remembered his own unfortunate experience with Lord Shiva and decided to take revenge by seducing Medhavi. Using the eyebrows of Manju Ghosh as a bow, her glances as a bowstring, her eyes as arrows, and her breasts as a target, Cupid approached Medhavi in order to tempt him to break his trance and his vows. In other words, Cupid engaged Manju Ghosha as his assistant. And when she looked at that powerful and attractive young sage, she almost became, in other words, Cupid engaged Manju Ghosha as his assistant. And when she looked at that powerful and attractive young sage, she also became agitated by lust. Seeing that he was highly intelligent and learned, wearing a clean white Brahmana's thread draped across his shoulder, holding a sannyasi's staff, and sitting handsomely in the ashram of Chyavan Rishi, Manju Ghosh came before him. She began to sing seductively, and the small bells of her belt and around her ankles, together with the bangles on her wrists, produced a delightful musical symphony. The sage Medhavi was enchanted. He understood that this beautiful young woman desired union with him, and at that instant, Cupid increased his attraction for Manju Ghosh by releasing his powerful weapons of taste, touch, sight, smell, and sound. Slowly, Manju Ghosh approached Medhavi, her bodily movements and sweet glances attracting him. She gracefully put her tambura down and embraced the sage with her two arms, just as a creeper winds itself around a strong tree. Captivated, Medhavi gave up his meditation and decided to sport with her, and instantly his purity of heart and mind abandoned him. Forgetting even the difference between night and day, he went away with her to sport for a long, long time. Seeing that the young yogi's sanctity had become seriously eroded, Manju Ghosh decided to abandon him and return home. She said, "O Great One, please permit me to return home." Medhavi replied, "But you have just arrived. O beautiful one, please stay with me at least until tomorrow." Fearful of sage's yogic power, Manju Ghosh stayed with Medhavi for precisely 57 years, 9 months and 3 days. But to Medhavi, all this time seemed like a moment. Again she asked him, "Please permit me to leave." Medhavi replied, "O dear one, listen to me. Stay with me for one more night and then you may leave tomorrow morning. Just stay with me until I have performed my morning duties and chanted the sacred Gayatri mantra. Please wait until then." Manju Ghosh was still fearful of the sage's great yogic power, but she forced a smile and said, "How long will it take you to finish your morning hymns and rituals? Please be merciful and think of all the time you have already spent with me." The sage reflected on the years he had been with Manju Ghosh and then said with great astonishment, "Why, I have spent more than 57 years with you." His eyes turned red and began to emanate sparks. He now regarded Manju Ghosh as death personified and the destroyer of his spiritual life. "You rascal woman, you have turned all the hard-earned results of my austerity to ashes." Trembling with anger, he cursed Manju Ghosh. "O sinful one, O hard-hearted, degraded one, you know only sin. May all terrible fortune be yours. O rascal woman, I curse you to become an evil hobgoblin, Pishacha." Cursed by the sage Medhavi, the beautiful Manju Ghosh humbly beseeched him, "O best of Brahmins, please be merciful to me and revoke your curse. O Great One, it is said that association of pure devotees give immediate results, but their curses take effect only after 7 days. I have been with you for 57 years. O Master, please be kind to me." Medhavi Muni replied, "O gentle lady, what can I possibly do? You have destroyed all my austerities. But even though you have done this sinful deed, I shall tell you a way you can be released from my wrath. In the dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra, there is an all-auspicious Ekadashi that removes all one's sins. Its name is Papmochini, O beautiful one. and whoever fasts on this sacred day becomes completely freed from having to take birth in any kind of devilish form. With these words, the sage left at once for his father's ashram. Seeing him enter the hermitage, Chauhan Muni said, "O son, by acting unlawfully, you have squandered the wealth of your penances and austerities." Medhavi replied, "O father, kindly reveal what atonement I must perform to remove the obnoxious sin I have incurred by privately associating with the dancing girl, Manju Ghosh." Chauhan Muni answered, "Dear son, you must fast on Papmochini Ekadashi, which occurs during the dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra. It eradicates all sins, no matter how grievous they may be." Medhavi followed his father's advice and fasted on Papmochini Ekadashi. Thus, all his sins were destroyed and he again became filled with excellent merit. Similarly, Manju Ghosh observed the same fast and became free of the hobgoblin curse. Ascending once again to the heavenly spheres, she too returned to her former position. Lomash Rishi said, "Thus, O King, the great benefit of fasting on Papmochini Ekadashi is that whoever does so with faith and devotion will have all his sins completely destroyed." Shri Krishna concluded, "O great Yudhishthir, whoever reads or hears about Papmochini Ekadashi obtains the very same merit he would get if he donated 1,000 cows in charity, and he also nullifies the sinful reactions he may have incurred by killing a brahmana, killing an embryo through abortion, drinking liquor, or having sex with his guru's wife. Such is the incalculable benefit of properly observing this holy day of Papmochini Ekadashi, which is so dear to me and so meritorious." Thus ends the narration of the glories of Chaitra Krishna Ekadashi or Papmochini Ekadashi from Bhavishya Uttar Purana. Now, there are a couple of footnotes. I am just reading the footnotes for the benefit of those who would like to know a little more about the same. Number one footnote says, after Lord Shiva lost his dear wife Sati at the sacrificial arena of Prajapati Daksha, Shiva destroyed the entire arena. Then he brought his father-in-law Daksha back to life by giving him the head of a goat. And finally he sat down to meditate for 60,000 years. Lord Brahma, however, arranged for Kamadev, Cupid, to come and break Shiva's meditation. Using his arrows of sound, taste, touch, sight, and smell, Cupid attacked Lord Shiva, who at last awoke from his trance. He was so angry at being disturbed that he instantly burned Cupid to ashes with a glance from his third eye. Second one, footnote. Female association is so powerful that a man forgets his time, energy, possessions, and even his own identity. As it is said in the Niti Shastra, Istriya Charitam Purushasya Bhagyam Devo Vijanati Kuto Manushya. Even the demigods cannot predict the behavior of a woman, nor can they understand the fortune of a man or how it will determine his destiny. According to Yajnavalk Muni, a celibate person who desires spiritual life should give up all association with women, including thinking of them, seeing them, talking with them in a secluded place, taking service from them, or having sexual intercourse with them. The footnote, this is the narration for Papmochini Ekadashi. Hare Krishna.